Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Amerks host Lehigh Valley tonight at 7 on the proud home of Rochester Americans Hockey. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
And here's something I'm going to give you right now, something you haven't had since the fall. Royals are leading the Rangers 2-0 in the top of the six. Yes, we've got Cactus League action. Finally something. What was the other score you saw, Sean, today?
The Tigers beat the Fire, whoever that might be. 5-4.
Tigers over... Who are the Fire? It's the Mud Hens or... I don't know any college named the Fire. I don't know. Regardless, baseball's on the way. Of course, been dominated, baseball, by the scandal involving the Houston Astros. To help us make some sense of this from the fantasy perspective, our friend Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, kind enough to give us a few minutes. And I will always remember Jeff because the first time we had him on the show here in the sports bar, he's like, well, I'm at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial here in Washington doing this interview. So Jeff, appreciate your time today. And where are we doing the interview from today, Jeff?
Not nearly as an exotic location. At home, out here in California.
Whereabouts in California? Northern, Southern?
Southern California. I live in a town called Monrovia. It's two clicks over from Pasadena.
Okay. So, yeah. So, you're just outside of the Los Angeles area, and certainly want to ask you about the Dodgers. But, Jeff, we're trying to make sense because I figure this is a weekend, at least for me and a lot of my friends, and you're starting now to consume news and info about spring training and starting to come up with strategies for your baseball draft. I don't know if we've ever encountered anything like this, because how do we trust the numbers, what the Houston Astro players put up over the last few years? What is your read on this whole situation? Because what is done here with the Astros. I want to know, how do we project things moving forward?
Yeah, you're exactly right. We've never encountered anything like this. The closest is, comparing it to PEDs. But in that case, it was more widespread across multiple teams, not just one team. As far as we know, and that's one of the things I think we don't know, and that there's so many unknowns. How did other teams have their own systems? Almost certainly some teams had their systems. Were they as brazen as the Astros? No. Were they as effective? Maybe, maybe not. We don't really have a control group here, so a lot of guessing is going on. And projecting baseball is hard already, as it is. You add an element like this, it's really difficult. I mean, you add in the ball. I mean, that's usually what was dominating the conversation before the Astros scandal came out. But I am downgrading my Astro hitters a little bit. Alex Bregman, for instance, will not go in. I won't take him in the first round, even though his stats suggest that he's easily middle of the first round quality. I'm just not going to take him there. I saw how his chase rate went down, consecutively each of the last two to three years. Walk rate went way up. I think he strikes out a lot more this year. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on these guys, and every player reacts differently to pressure, but they're going to be, every town they go to, they're going to be asked the question. Every town they go to, they're going to get booed. And it seems to me like, Altuve, Correa, and Bregman are going to be the flashpoint of this, but, it could affect every single one of these hitters.
I mean, this is where, and we take the lessons from fantasy football. You don't, you shouldn't let emotion get involved here, but is this a special instance where, like, I don't want to have any of these guys on my team? And I'm sure there might be a player in your league, an opponent in your league that might say, regardless of what happens, I'm not drafting any of these Astro players. So in a weird way, Jeff, could there be possible value in drafting?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm thinking too, but I'm just making sure you stick to that draft board. And how common is the mistake, Jeff, of letting emotion get in the way here?
Well, the good thing is baseball is a vast universe, so usually there's another player you can get of comparable value. But, I mean, if a guy slips far enough, you're giving someone in your league a windfall, especially if that happens multiple times. There's a whole lot of unknown going here. Will they get thrown at more often? There's a line out in Vegas that I think the over-under is 83.5 times that they get plunked by pitches. Last year they got hit 66 times, so it'd be a definite step up. By the way, 83.5 wouldn't be near the top of what it was last year. The Mets got hit 94 times last year. The Reds got hit 89 times. So, but maybe they, opposing base runners slide into second base harder, especially without Altuve and Correa there. These are all little things we have to watch for.
Maybe in a weird way, if we're having prop bets on baseball, a sport we love, it's not a bad thing. Jeff Erickson,
right.
From RotoWire, joining us here. Jeff, there's one pitcher I want to ask you about because, around the fallout for the Houston Astros, a guy that I see is like, if you could pinpoint him going in the opposite direction, that's Yu Darvish. Is this somebody that you could possibly be a candidate to bounce back? Because what happened to this guy, it's proof positive in my mind that pitching in baseball in general can certainly be a very mental game.
100%. In fact, the comeback already started. You saw what he did the last 3 months of the season last year. The thing that was remarkable to me was how much his walk rate dropped. That, he was, in 2018, he was dealing with injuries. Start of 2019, he really struggled with his command. But, over his first seven starts last year, he was 2-3, had a 5.79 ERA, a 1.71 whip. Last four starts, 3.58 ERA, 0.92 whip, 192 strikeouts in 146 innings, only 29 walks. The pitch command came back. And sometimes that is there's a lag after you come back from Tommy John surgery, which Darvish did. And I'm all in on him this year. I'm happy to have him as my second kicker. And in a league, where I wait on hitters sometimes, I'm happy for him to be my first. Wait on pitchers.
And that would certainly be great value. We know that we're kind of very cautious marking down Astro players. What do we do with the Red Sox? Because we're still waiting for baseball to kind of tell us what went on in Boston. That's still hanging out there. So, and of course, then you have on top of that the Mookie Betts departure there. So that doesn't help out anybody in that lineup. So what do we do with the Boston players moving forward?
Well, you figure counting stats might get hurt a little bit. J.D. Martinez might have fewer guys to knock in as an example of that. Someone like Devers might be hurt a little bit too. Mookie, set the table so well. He scored, even in a quote unquote down year, he scored 130 runs. You take that off the top of the lineup, a guy that's on base constantly, and that's going to hurt for sure. Especially with the part of their prize, Alex Verdugo, not going to be ready for the start of the season, most likely coming back from the stress fracture in his back. That's something that's going to their lineup is definitely going to be a little watered down. And then you look at the rotation and try not to look at that rotation directly. It's like looking into the sun. You don't want to do that. You got Chris Sale, who is already dealing with pneumonia. He's going to start spring training a little behind. He had a really rough year last year, lost a mile and a half off that fastball, had elbow soreness. They said he's on track elbow-wise, but he's a big wild card this year. Then you have Erod, who, Eduardo Rodriguez had a pretty good year last year, but I wonder if he bounces back from a 200-inning season strongly. And then it's a big mystery after that. Nate Eovaldi, Martin Perez, and .. They don't have a fifth starter right now.
Betts in that Dodger lineup. I'll ask the question this way, Jeff. Who's got the best lineup on paper right now in baseball? Is it the Dodgers? Is it the Yankees? Is it someone else?
Yeah, I think Dodgers, Yankees, Astros. Even with all the uncertainty with the Astros, they still got a lot of talent on that team. Dark horse team would be the Twins. Adding Josh Donaldson in the middle of that lineup is quite a boost. Remember, The Twins were the team that led baseball in homers last year. Just got to remember that. And then they added Josh Donaldson on top of that. So they are going to be a force to be reckoned with, especially because they get to pound the Tigers, pound the Royals. Maybe not the White Sox anymore. The White Sox look like they're going to be tougher this year, but I still question the depth in their starting pitching. I think that they'll still be a team that gives up a decent chunk of runs. So the Twins are going to score a lot of runs. The Angels went out and tried to improve their lineup this year, going out and getting Anthony Rendon. I mean, there's the AL, one of the hidden stories of baseball. You know, it's a shame. There was so many good, you know, so many bad storylines with, you know, the Astros, with the potential labor issues coming up. That lost in all this is, like, it was a really good transactional offseason. Free agents signed early. There's only one out there right now of any note, and that's Yasiel Puig. You know, we don't have the Bryce Harper, Manny Machado signing after spring training start stories.
No, thank goodness we don't. And I was going to ask you about Puig here. What, Sean, you want him in Cardinal gear, do you not? I mean, where do you think Puig, and what am I missing here? Is he that much of a bad apple, Jeff?
I think he might be. I think that's... So, and I think that's the issue. I think some contending teams are worried about him upsetting the clubhouse, just whether or not he's, you know, got the right mindset. You know, it's not like the Reds are going after him. It's not like the Indians, his most recent team, are going after him, even though the Indians had a vacancy. They chose to go after Domingo Santana instead, which I thought that was pretty eye-opening. You know, and then you've got the non-contending teams in baseball where there are, you know, openings where they could probably use some help. But instead of signing him, they're just playing it on. I mean, you look at the Pittsburgh Pirates. They have a payroll under $50 million, and that's a disgrace, by the way. Especially with their getting revenue share payments higher than that. They open the season making a profit without playing a game, yet they're not even trying. It's really frustrating to see. But, you know, they're not going to spend money on a guy like that because they're not ready to contend. I think that's the trap he's running into. There was rumors today that either the White Sox or the Rockies were interested. Although then the Rockies beat writer for MLB.com came out and said, you know, I was told by a source that inside the Rockies that was conjured out of thin air. Almost sounds like it's coming from his agent.
Mm. Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.com, our guest. The other part of that Mookie Betts trade, of course, it happens because you have to take on the water, right, of David Price. But now that he's out of Boston, I mean, is David Price worth a flyer in your opinion, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing. David Price was a league average starting pitcher last year. That's not the worst thing in the world, except for when you're making $30 million doing it. I think that was really the issue at hand here. And that's why he was included in this trade. That's the giveaway that the Red Sox were just looking at. You know, this wasn't a baseball trade. This was to get under the competitive balance tax. No matter what John Henry and company say, it was clearly a cost savings move. But Price, in the NL, first of all, that's got to be a bonus. Getting out of Boston, where he's had so many problems with the media, I mean, that can't be a bad thing either. You know, presumably he'll be healthier. It's a better ballpark to pitch in. A lot of good things there. So, yeah, absolutely. I'd take him around 150 overall and be pretty happy as long as he's like my third or fourth starter.
You're on the air here in Yankee country, as you can imagine here. And the news this week about Luis Severino being shut down, and then you compound that with the James Paxton story. Jeff, what are your thoughts of the Yankee rotation behind Gerrit Cole?
It's a little scary. It's a little scary. Tanaka's coming off of having bone chips removed from his elbow, too. Although they said he's full go for spring training, so that's going to be encouraging. And remember, Domingo Germán is going to start the year finishing the rest of his suspension. That's, I think, another 60 games. So they're pretty thin right now. You're going to see Jordan Montgomery being asked to do a lot more than they originally thought. Jay Happ has to be in that rotation. And then they might fudge it for the fifth starter for a while, or maybe, you know, they'll bring up one of their prospects. There's a couple guys that I like. The guy that I think I like the most out of that is Clark Schmidt. I don't know if he's going to be ready right away, but I like him in the long run. So he's a guy I kind of keep an eye on.
You know, in fantasy baseball, it's a lot different with wins. And Major League Baseball, it seems like we've kind of gotten away from what that category. But in a lot of leagues, Jeff, it still does matter. And the Yankees, there was maybe the way they fudge it, they go to the bullpen starter coming out. I mean, what teams do you see perhaps we have to use caution knowing that the starter going out on the mound? Because if we're looking for wins in that category, I know Tampa Bay may be one, and I don't know, maybe the Yankees are one too.
I always like getting the primary reliever after the opener. Brian Yarbrough won 19 games 2 years ago, and he was drafted like 400th last year because no one's like, oh, well, whatever. We're still not going to, or maybe it's 16 games. I might get the number wrong. But point is, he won a ton of games, and he was on people's rosters. Not a dominant pitcher, but there's a huge advantage coming in the second or third inning and then just throwing four innings. You're not asked to go three times through the order. You don't have to face the top of the order when you first come into the game. And then if it's on a good team like the Rays, chances are you might come in with a lead and you walk away with a win. So it's been a source of profit if you do it right. The thing is, the Rays do it one way. Other teams kind of just throw it together just to get through the game. And that's the thing you got to watch out for. Like the Angels did at the end of the year last year when they're losing pitchers like Spinal Tap drummers. Sometimes you just have to ignore those. But, smart teams, they found a little edge and they used it, exploited it. We'll see this year. One of the things that's interesting is we expanded rosters by one. So, 26 players per team instead of 25, but with a cap of 13 pitchers. So you won't see this parade of pitchers coming up and down. They also had the IL stretch for pitchers stretched out to 15 days instead of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an anti-Dodger move right there. And I'm happy to see it actually. It gives us a little bit more certainty, when a guy's going to get a start instead of, oh, we're just going to skip him one start and put him on the IL for 10 days. Well, great. Now we're left holding the bag. That won't happen as often. The other thing, too, is the three-batter minimum for relievers. I like that. That's going to give us more. Our closers are going to get more saves instead of spreading around. The Rays had 10 guys get saves last year, in part because they could mix and match so readily. I think now that you have to face three batters, minimum or finish a half inning, that means that closer is going to probably get start the ninth instead of coming in after one batter or two batters.
Yeah, I listen, anything that helps speed up the game and the specialization, shame on Tony La Russa for bringing this into baseball.
And Bruce Bochy.
Yeah, he brought it in too. Jeff Erickson, rotowire.com. One more question about baseball as we're starting to do our prep. Home runs are easy. You can, this day and age, you could turn, they're everywhere. But steals, very hard to find. And I'm not one who likes Billy Hamilton on my roster because he's going to hurt you in other areas. So, Jeff, when we're trying to find players that are not going to hurt you, but you need that valuable category in steals, I mean, what are some recommendations outside of the obvious, in your opinion?
It's a great question. And the way to attack it is attack it at the top. Find the guys that can do something of everything so you don't have to go after the Billy Hamilton, Malik Smith types of the world because those are the guys that kill you. And the thing is, when home runs are so prevalent, you need a ton of them. You need to get 27 home. If you're playing in a 12-team mixed league and you're playing like in an overall contest like the NFBC, you want to get I always tell people try to average third place in every category. You need 27 homers per offensive slot. You get a Billy Hamilton out there, just think how much you're chasing already. Mm-hmm. So that's why you go after Trevor Story instead of a Nolan Arenado in the first round. Nolan Arenado is going to get you three stolen bases, if that. So I'd rather go get the guy that's 30-20 and maybe sacrifice a little bit in average and RBI because I can find those later in the draft without killing me. I can find guys that can hit 20 homers, 30 homers here and there. I can't find 20 stolen base guys that do anything else later in the draft.
Great advice from Jeff Erickson. Jeff, before we let you go, you're on the air here in the heart of Buffalo Bills country, and it's just going to be a fascinating month here coming up with all the quarterback shuffling. Just your thoughts in general on what we might see. Is this going to really, all this movement, are we really going to see a lot of movement, or are we going to end up with Tom Brady back in New England? How does this all play out? So many different scenarios here, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be quarterback madness. I mean, you look at the Chargers, that they're going to be looking. Your old friend Tyrod Taylor might be the quarterback there next year, but might not be. We'll see. We'll see what the Carolina Panthers do. They've got a big decision to make with Cam Newton. I think that's going to be one of the big linchpins. Rivers is going to sign somewhere. The Bengals will probably trade Andy Dalton. He's got 1 year left on his contract. I think he'll be a good fit for a team like, say, the Bears that, want to move on from Trubisky. I think Brady stays in New England, by the way. I think that at the end of the day, I think it's going to be hard for both him to make that call and for the Pats to make that call. I know it's a cold-blooded business, but, when you've won 6 Super Bowls, it's a little bit different. But yeah, there's going to be so much movement. I think draft day could be fascinating with all the trades we might see. So many quarterbacks in the draft, too, this year.
Yeah. And one follow-up to that, because you are out in L.A., and I would imagine 99% of the people don't care about the Chargers. Maybe that I'm going low on that number there. But
yeah, exactly.
Do they have a plan? I'm asking that seriously. I mean, what is the plan out there? Is it just hope that something comes along nice? Because to me, I like Anthony Lynn, but this would have been the offseason. If you're going to clear the decks, clear the decks. And it seems like this is a franchise. I don't know what the plan is, Jeff.
And the thing is, they have a lot of talent. That's really the problem. They're not like the Dolphins, where they're strip mined already, and they're this desperate franchise. Now they got a lot of talent. They just find a way to lose. I saw a rumor that the Bucs were interested in Phillip Rivers, tired of the up and down nature of Jameis Winston. It's like, did you watch any game from the Chargers the last 2 years? I mean, Phillip Rivers is like the veteran version of Winston without the arm. He gets intercepted more on deep balls than anybody else in the game, and they find super creative ways to lose, too. It's crazy. You know, the thing is, they've got the worst ownership group in football. Oh, second worst. My Bengals have the worst, and I'm not going to back down from that one. Mike Brown is the worst owner in professional sports, I think. But, the Chargers, their whole plan was, okay, let's go to L.A. because we can make more money there. No one wants them here. Nobody. They're going to be a secondary tenant in the Rams' new stadium, and no one's going to want them there. You know, it's funny. You saw, like, the Sunday night game against the Steelers, where it was 90% Steelers fans. This was, like, and that was probably the most extreme example, but every week, the opposing team, fan base would dwarf the Chargers fan base. There is no fan base here.
Oh, they have their work cut out for them. If you're a Bengal fan, I forgot that, Jeff. I mean, are you worried that Burrow's going to pull an Eli Manning?
No, I'm not. I think it's trying to find a storyline in kind of the slower days of football reporting. It's a 365-7 cycle now with football, but I think that, you know, at the end of the day, he's actually from Ohio, first of all. I mean, I don't think there's, you know, I think he's going to end up there. I understand why a player wouldn't want to play for the Bengals, because they have the fewest number of scouts in the game. They have an owner that's hands-on but doesn't really have an active GM. You know, never tries to sign the high level free agents. Always tries to find ways to be cheap. I get all these things, so it's possible he could try to force his hand, but I don't think that's going to happen. In fact, I think if that was really their intent, they would have outright said it by now.
Jeff, my quick 30-second Bengal story on how cheap they are, because I moonlight doing one of those stringing. Hey, I've got a lineup guests and everything. And when the Bengals come in, I'm always dumbfounded by the lack of security and how they have only one PR guy. I'm like, wait a second. I shouldn't be walking up to Andy Dalton personally. Who am I? You know, this just seems right here. Like, you shouldn't cheap out on things like that.
Exactly. It's stunning that the Pats were able to spy on the Bengals. Stunning. And they didn't have any help, really? Not at all.
Not at all. Jeff, tell everybody more about RotoWire, what they can read for baseball, and where people can actually hear more of your work, too.
Sure, absolutely. You can go to rotowire.com/free. We got a free 10-day trial. Get access to the site. On there, I've got I personally have a couple category target articles on there. So if you're playing in a contest like the NFBC, let you know what targets you need to hit the necessary categories to win your league. We've got James Anderson cranking out all sorts of prospect content. If you're doing a dynasty or keeper league draft right now, he's a must read. Todd Zola's been writing great articles every week. We update our projections, our cheat sheets, our dollar values. And if you're a diehard football guy, I mean, we already have football content up on the site. We have Mario Puig's like dynasty rankings for the incoming rookies and wide receivers, running backs and wide receivers. We've got early projections and rankings if you're in a best ball league. And those things are open already, guys. People are already drafting. It's crazy. It's awesome for us, especially. But it's great. So check it all out. Rotowire.com/free.
Jeff, have a great week. I really appreciate your time. Great insight. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.